Our text this morning is the last two verses of Ephesians, chapter 6, 23 and 24. We'll conclude our time in this epistle. It's been a wonderful experience for me to proclaim God's word through Paul's epistle to those at Ephesus. Let me read to you verses 23 and 24 to conclude this book. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. When you sign off an email, finish a telephone call, maybe you still write something and send it through the mail, how do you close your letters, your conversation, your time? Pretty honestly, I think we can all say, not this gloriously, not with this sort of eloquence. I probably don't think how to salute somebody at the end of our time of our conversation with this sort of truth. You may think it to be out of place if somebody ended their conversation with you, peace to you and love with faith, grace from God. Where is this coming from? What a glorious thing, though. What a prayer. What a wish. The Apostle Paul, as he concludes this letter, says, peace, peace be to you. Love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you. What a prayer for blessings. And that's one of the things that I want us to take away from the beginning is, as the Apostle Paul departs, his interaction with those at Ephesus, his interaction with fellow believers, is so intertwined with his relationship with God that he cannot say a blessing and departure without praying to the Lord. He cannot dismiss himself from their presence, even if it's written, without attending himself to prayer before God Almighty and asking God, his Father, his Savior, to pour out blessings upon those whom he is dialoguing with, speaking with, thinking about. The two never separate in the Apostle Paul's mind and heart. Oh, how it would be so good for us to have a mind so wrapped up to see God glorified, God honored, and God's kingdom go forth in every conversation that we have with those around us. It's very instructive just to read these words and to think such thought. So Paul here ends his letter by praying for them. This is not simply just some well wish. It's not simply him just saying, I hope it all turns out well for you. Best regards, Paul. No, he beseeches the Lord on their behalf and prays for their blessings. And you'll notice with all of the things surely going on in their lives, because they're the sorts of things surely going on in our lives. They're the sorts of things when we take prayer requests during our Bible study hour on Wednesday nights, we get many of these requests. Things going on with the health of those whom we love. And for good reason, we ought to be praying for them. For good reason, we ought to be beseeching the Lord for them. For those who are struggling financially or with health issues or struggles with their relationships with one another, we ought to be praying for such things. But Paul, as he departs, doesn't simply say, Lord, protect them where they go, keep them from getting sick, heal them that are sick. He doesn't beseech the Lord on behalf of their temporal needs at this time, at this moment. Not saying that he doesn't do that for them. I know he does, because he prays at all times in the Spirit for all things, making his petitions and requests on behalf of the Lord for their good. I know he's praying about every aspect of their lives. But here as he departs, he prays not for health, wealth, and safe travels. He doesn't pray for any of the things that are temporary. But he prays for the glory of God in their lives. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is this prayer of Paul, is this prayer for these blessings for their good, or is it for the advancement of the kingdom of God? I see Matt answering my question. Yes. See it from even the second or third from the back row there. We can see this question be answered. It's for both. What a glorious truth. It is a blessed thing when we recognize that the answer is yes to both. That the answer is that our pleasure is most intense when God's blessings to us spring forth to be blessings from us to the world around us. What a thing. That when Paul prays for peace, for grace, for love with faith to be upon them, that is something which they are to enjoy. That is something for them to sit back and say, thank you. I've received the answer to that prayer, Paul, and it's a wonderful thing. I can't wait to share it with you. Whether we write back to tell you or whether you come and see us sometime, I'm marking this down because I want to tell you this. My boss at work has started doing something, and I see his wisdom in it. It was hard to adjust to at first, but he's kind of said, I'm having weekly meetings with all of my direct reports to give you a half hour to speak to me. And all of us that are his direct reports are thinking, what are we going to say week after week after week to this person? Same project, same struggles, same clients. Yeah, hasn't changed. Well, part of it is because anytime we have issues with those clients, those projects, those needs, those other people, and the difficulties on things, we just barge by, stop in, open the door, and start just laying it out before him. He probably gets no work done. Now it's scheduled. And it was a little bit difficult for me because I still wanted to go by and just dump those things off. But then when I had to stave it up, I've started writing things down. And I have realized at work on a purely secular level, I have more things to write down to talk to people about than I ever could have thought that I had before. There are things I need to know. There's wisdom I need to have, discerning wisdom to me. There are requests I need to make. There are things that need to be done. The Apostle Paul here has a blessed moment to think about what it is that these need prayer for. And these things are written down as he prays for them. Peace, love, faith, and grace. We all need those things. It would do us well if we thought about each other through the week and we just marked down, oh, my spouse, oh, my children, my fellow believer within the body of Christ, oh, that they need grace. I'm going to write that down. We're going to pray about that. And faith and peace and love. I want to pray that God, when I have my appointment time with God, or I also want you praying about it when you think about it too, but I am going to be praying for these things. I will not let them slip by. I will not let the week go by. I will not let the day go by without such things. Notice the source of every one of these blessings. Little thing, but notice it. Verse 23, peace be to the brethren and love with faith from. What a glorious word there is there. From, indicating the source. Oh, we do well to think about this. All of these things from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And there, even as our brother Mike Bufa pointed out earlier, the proof of the deity of Christ, the union of the Father and the Son. So here in this passage, we see this statement here of who God is being our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I digress. The source of these blessings is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is instructive to us. And it's something none of us would fail on a pass-fail test. If I just put it before you and said, before we read from Ephesians 6 this morning, what is the source of all blessings, true or false, as a God, we'd have it. But to realize it, we must recognize what is the source of true blessings. And this would help us immensely to stop idolizing other things. We take joy in so many other things. It's called comfort food for a reason. There are times when we just seek comfort in things. And let's be honest, there are things that give our physical bodies a sense of satisfaction and rest. And there are things God ordained. Our body needs rest and sleep. I'm not trying to deny that. And if you need a good night's sleep for the glory of the Lord tonight, go do it. I had one last night. Jamie and I finished some stuff up. It was 9:42. Normally we're up later than that. I said, are you tired? She said, yeah, exhausted. Go and get some rest tonight. There's physical things, but that can only get you so far. And you can survive on far less than is needed to have that satisfying night's sleep. You can survive. These physical bodies can do without the physical blessings that are still good, still can be blessings to us. We can survive on those things. Oh, but the true things, the most necessary things, the things that will sustain us through human weakness, through human discomfort, through human trials and tribulations and all of those sorts of things, those are the eternal things that makes the things of this world grow so faintly dim in the light of the glory and grace of Jesus our Savior. Paul prays for these things. And the source of these things is God. When you're in need, you may think my need is a good night's sleep. And as I just said, some of us need that just simple instruction to say, then do it. But when you're in need, recognize every ultimate need is pointing you back to Jesus Christ. Lord, I need rest tonight. One of the reasons we need sleep is for us and our bodies to recognize how much spiritually we need Jesus Christ. Isn't that true from Hebrews? Telling us of spiritual rest. Our bodies need food and drink. Think how many times Jesus Himself used that metaphor, that physical reality, to point of our need of Him. He is the well which is always producing. He is the bread which never fails to satisfy. Realize that every blessing comes from the source, the true source, God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. When you think about this even further, is this not the problem with the world around us today? They do not understand the true blessing only and ever comes from God. It's been celebrations this past week of something which is not going to bring them blessing. But they think it. And that's just one example. I bring it up because it's in the news and it's impacting. But you can go forth and you can talk with your coworkers. They're looking for blessings in other places. And it keeps running out. The well keeps going dry. Recognize God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the source of true blessings. So let's spend a moment and just look at these four things, these four blessings: peace, love, faith, and grace. There at the beginning of verse 24, back in verse 23 as well. First thing is peace. I'm going to read to you just rapid fire some verses from the book of Romans. If you'd like to turn there, I'll give you just a moment this morning to turn to Romans 5, but if you just want to sit back and listen, because your fingers aren't feeling as flippity as they might today, that's okay as well. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, a well-known verse. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the true source of peace. Having been justified by faith. Oh friend, how much peace there is if you will just turn to Christ. Romans 8, 6. For the mind set on the flesh, Sunday school, is death. But the mind set on the Spirit, get this, is life and peace. When I think about peace this morning, you struggle to say, I don't feel peaceful. It's been a difficult week. And friends, I want you guys to know something here this morning. You all minister to one another, to me, so much. The posts I see, even just out on Facebook or Twitter or wherever else you may be posting it about the difficulty of your week, about what it means to be a person that is working, whether at home or away, and all of the struggles and all of the difficulties and how crazy and hectic it can be. But just a moment of faith and rest in Christ is so sustainable. Oh, it does me good to hear that. It does good to others in here as well. guess what? Not everybody's on Facebook to see that. You may need to tell them that great testimony. They'd love to hear it too. But the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Remember earlier how I asked, are these prayers, these things that are being prayed for, are these just blessings for us? Are they supposed to be for the advancement of the kingdom? Here's something. When you have peace through being justified by faith, through seeking the Spirit, you will be able to show an incredible testimony towards those outside, to those who are even at odds with you, to those who are opposed to you, to those who hate you because of your belief in the Scriptures. You are still to pursue peace with them as far as it depends upon you. Guess what that verse is saying? This peace which God has given you is to go forth. And just like we have finished looking at the armor of God, never at any point in there was it to go out and bemean some... Is that even a word? I lost it. Never is it to go out and attack somebody and to lower them in their own esteem. Never is it to go forth and bemean or bemoan. I'm still seeing some discussion going on out there. That's okay. We'll get the grammar of it later on. We're not supposed to just go out there and just condemn everybody, but to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our strength. That is the peace which we have, which goes out. And friends, it may be met in opposition, and it may not seem to have a peaceful effect in this world, but there are times, oh friend, there are times when the gospel is going under the power of the Spirit of God, back to Sunday school this morning, back under the power of God Himself to bring peace to someone who's never had peace before in their life. Romans 15, 13. Now, and here the apostle prays here. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and with all peace through faith in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you like to abound this week? I hope so. I hope you say, Lord, I want to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're to do that through peace, the peace that God gives. He is the source of the peace which should cause you to abound for His glory. Romans 16:20. The God of peace. Oh, sounds good, doesn't it? I haven't even read the rest of the verse. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. There's no peace apart from the gospel. We just finished looking at the armor of God being the gospel itself and having that peace prepared upon our feet, the gospel of peace. May peace be with you this week. May God grant you peace. The next thing, love. Ephesians chapter 6, peace, verse 23. Peace be to the brethren and love. Imagine if I were to tell you there's a place not far from here. Matter of fact, you just go out the exit here, you turn right, you take a left, you go over that bridge over 50 Highway there. I think it's called O'Brien. You turn right, you go over that bridge, you turn right at Ward Road, and then just a little ways down the way is a place, a spot. The boy's like, hey, that's my baseball field. Just quiet down. There's a place with unending treasure. Sounds like Field of Dreams all of a sudden. Forget that. There's no cornfield over there. There's a place in our imaginations here of absolute treasure. You can go over there right now and you can just start pouring, just pulling from the stockpiles and you're never going to reach the end. There's inexhaustible treasure and happiness. You could go and take from its stores at any point, day or night. In fact, it's so valuable and so overflowing in supply that you can get enough to give to everyone in your life you live with, you work with, or you cross paths with to bless them immensely. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Is that not what the love of Christ is? Inexhaustible treasure. There's a hymn while blessed with a sense of His love, a palace at Troy would appear, and prisons would palaces prove, if Jesus would dwell with me there. When you rest in the sense of His love, it is a treasure beyond anything else. What a prayer for the Apostle Paul to say, Lord, as I depart from them, even if it's just from this letter, God, You are the source, Father and Son, through Your Holy Spirit, grant them love. What a blessing you can be to your family if you remember the love that is to be theirs from you. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, parents to children, children to parents, everybody to grandma and grandpa. Love. Beautiful. Providing, forgiving, caring, helping, empathizing. Love. What a treasure. Friends, it's ours. The inexhaustible supply is Jesus Christ Himself. He is the source of this love. He has poured forth this love into our hearts, right? That we would be immensely blessed. That we would be those who bless others. Again, is this for our good or for the good of the kingdom of God? Both. Absolutely and in every way. Oh, may we embrace this love. May we show this love. May we understand that this love is not like the world defines it. We found that out this week. This love is a love of sacrifice. At times it is a love of denial. It is a love which cares for others. It is a love which has patience in everything there in 1 Corinthians. It is a love which looks out for the absolute best to others and esteems them more highly than you even view yourself. Love. The next thing, it says, peace be to the brethren and love with faith. With faith. I quoted a whole bunch from Romans for peace, an imagination story for love there. And for faith, let me just quote to you an entire hymn, one of my favorites. I can't imagine anything more beautiful than to think of this when you think of faith. This is a hymn by Isaac Watts. Three verses, I'm going to read them all to you. I think you'll be blessed by it. I'm not going to sing it. Rest easy. But it's just as much of a poem as it is a song. How sad our state by nature is. Our sin, how deep it stains. And Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains. But there's a voice of sovereign grace sounding from the sacred word. O ye despairing sinners, come and trust upon the Lord. My soul obeys the almighty call and runs to this relief. I would believe thy promise, Lord. O help my unbelief. To the dear fountain of thy blood, incarnate God, I fly. Here let me wash my spotted soul from crimes of deepest dye. Stretch out thine arm, victorious King, my reigning sins subdue. Drive the old dragon from his seat with all his hellish crew. A guilty, weak, and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness, my Jesus, my all. Oh, friends, faith. Faith in the risen Lord Jesus. Faith in His cleansing work and power. Faith in His forgiveness to those who believe. Faith in His ability to free us from sin and depth. Faith that cries out for more faith. Oh, friends, may that faith be ours. May God grant that faith in us. May it bless us richly. May that faith compel us to realize and to recognize at the point that I have no strength, Lord, You are my strength. You are my righteousness. In my weakness, Your strength abounds and conquers, and Your love is glorified. Oh, Father, let me never turn away from faith. May I never look at things in my life and think that Your power, O God, cannot conquer in this realm, cannot overcome this weakness, cannot forgive the ways that I've failed, cannot raise me up from my depths. Oh, Lord, help my unbelief. Peace be to the brethren in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me simply say one small thing about grace. One sentence. There is grace when we are desperate, and there is grace when we are full. Praise be to God for His grace. May it abound. Verse 24 says, "Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love." As you hear those words, how do they strike you? Hopefully glorious. Hopefully beautiful. Hopefully wonderful. But perhaps a bit convicting as well. Paul says, grace be to those, all of those. You're like, oh, great. An announcement of, a proclamation of grace upon me. Upon all of those who love the Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. And now it hits me to ask myself, do I love the Lord with an incorruptible love? Let's think about this for a few moments as we close this morning. What is this type of love? It is the purest and the most intense of all types of love. I think you will agree with me. There are various types of love. We could look at the Greek text, the Greek language, and see three different words for love. And we could define those and categorize those, as many have done, and then realize the failure of doing that, because we see how each one of those three is used in different ways. And believe me, there is not just one type of divine love that's excluded from the other two. We're in trouble if we try and separate those that way. It's not to say that there aren't different passages of Scripture that are using those different words to emphasize those aspects of divine love, or the aspects of love that's faulty at times, or the sorts of love that can be pure and can be faulty at the same time in different circumstances. What is this type of love here? Regardless of which Greek word is used for love, the word that describes it, with love which is incorruptible, magnifies it. There is nothing fleeting about this love. The world often speaks of the sort of love that is unchanging, the sort of love which doesn't look upon another and judge them, a non-judgmental love. But most of the times what the world means when they bring that up is a blind love. I mean, a love that truly doesn't know what's going on. That's what the world wants to do. Oh, we can just love one another without regard to what's going on. Let's just not really look at that, because even the world, when they start to look, well, I can't love that. It's a sham when they talk about a love that's not dependent upon things. They just don't want it to look deeply into it. This love is a sort of love that looks deeply into something and still loves. There's nothing fleeting about it. It does not wax or wane. It is not dependent upon our mood or a situation. As in marriage, it is a love in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer. It is a love that realizes Jesus' devotion to us is this intense, is this wonderful. And it is a love that looks upon the love of Jesus and says, that is the love spoken of here. That is the love that I am to have. That Paul says, this blessing be upon those who love Jesus in this way, incorruptible. At all times, at all moments, we don't look at our own situation and say, oh, you know what? I really wanted that job. I really wanted that promotion. God didn't have that come to be. I just don't know that I really love Him as much as I should. We wouldn't do that out loud. But sometimes our love waxes and wanes. We ought to love Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love. Amen. Don't you want that in your heart? An incorruptible love. It is a love that is born out of the realization that Jesus is worth our every drop of devotion. There is no other idol that can compare. Why would we worship other things in practice or virtually? It is a love born out of the realization that Jesus is gracious to us when we fail Him over and over, and sometimes deeper. It is a love that is born out of the realization that Jesus is personal to us. I hope, I pray this morning, nothing ever taught here, said here, or being realized here is ever done just in a doctrinal, antiseptic manner of thinking, okay, this is great truth, this is great doctrine, this is right. I'm glad I heard that. It's nothing if it's not proclaiming to you Jesus Himself. But there is one last thing to recognize about this text before we close. Grace be with all of those who love the Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. This love being discussed here, and give me a moment, I'll read to you a quote that may help me here. This love referred to here is not just a type of love that we are to have for Jesus Christ. The language is rather unique. The love referred to here at the very last verse, the very last phrase, is an instrument through which eternal life is being established within us. Let me try and help myself communicate this to you. This is a quote from Bauer's Lexicon, which is a big, thick, just bare of a thing. And in a lot of cases, it speaks very scholastically. It's kind of hard, even if you know how to read. It's like, nah, I'm more confused than I was coming into it. It says this about this use of the word incorruptible found here in Ephesians. It refers to those who love the Lord and as such are now partakers through that love of the future life. In other words, incorruptible love refers to the love that does not belong to this life only, but to the heavenly and eternal love that is the theme of eternity. It is a heavenly love. And so the passage to us can be read, grace be to those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love that is not corrupted by time, by place, but it is the love which is eternal. The love which you will experience, which you will worship God in this love in heaven. You're tasting it now. It's an instrument through which you are currently partaking in eternal life, even now, in this flesh and blood. Wow. It's one of the ways that we can say, as Paul says in Colossians, we are seated with Him in heavenly places. We're already in heaven. We're physically here, but our lives are with Him. It's not just a metaphor of speech. There is a way in which His heavenly life is starting to shine and break through us. And I cannot think of a more beautiful way than looking at this passage and realizing it's His love that's doing it. An incorruptible love. That's something which is already within us. We're not perfect with it. We don't embrace it. We don't even realize we have it as much as we should. Oh, but it is ours in Christ Jesus. It is ours, which Paul prays here. Grace be to you who love the Lord Jesus Christ with this love that will not fade away. One which you will continue to enjoy in eternity. Oh, Matthew's gospel. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moths or rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That's the love. That's the treasure. That's what we ought to be about in this life, is something which will never fade away in this life, but the eternal love of Jesus Christ in us even now and for all eternity. Is it the treasure or is it the heart? I don't know, but it's cling to it. Embrace it. Paul concludes his letter with the hope that there is a sense in which we will have a foretaste of heaven on earth. Wow. I can't offer you more than that. One final question comes to you. Do you have this sort of love in your heart for Jesus Christ? I've already said it's not perfect. Every believer here this morning would say, "No, I wouldn't describe it as incorruptible." Oh, but it's in you, dear believer. Cling to it even more. Recognize its value, its worth, how much it's a treasure, and how transforming it is for your life. But perhaps there's some here this morning that says, I don't have it at all. Andrew Lincoln wrote a commentary of some thoughts on Ephesians about this very passage, and he says this: "Elsewhere in the letter, Paul is taught of God's love for believers. He is taught of believers' love for one another. He is taught of believing husbands' love for their wives and to believers' love in general. But this in Ephesians is the only place where their love for Christ is made explicit. And in this way, the letter closes with a stress on the believer's personal relationship and commitment to Christ." And I leave you with the very same question. Are you committed to Jesus Christ through faith? The gospel which is proclaimed, that Jesus has come, born as a man, even though He was God, even though He owns everything in the heavenlies, He became a man. He died upon the cross for the sins of those who will trust through faith in Him that He is Messiah, He is the Savior, that He has bore our sins upon the cross, that we would have forgiveness of sins and have everlasting eternal life. Does your faith rest in Him? Do you know that grace, that love? And do you have incorruptible love alive and living within you? Let's pray.